Western civilization, infant baptism, transgenderism, a legal case for the resurrection, the First Amendment, revisionist history. Your favorite guests will address these topics at the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, November 9th and 10th in Dallas. Learn more at issuesetc.org. Making the Case, November 9th and 10th in Dallas. Dallas Page, Fort Worth Knights.
The left is saying stare decisis, stare decisis, stare decisis when it comes to abortion. And that reason is that the language of Roe cannot be sustained by the Constitution of the United States.
If we would just take a pen and underline every time he mentions the father, Jesus makes it crystal clear that we don't have a vote in this matter.
The reason to be a Lutheran, marry a Lutheran, stay a Lutheran, is so that I am always receiving this grace in a church that's preaching it in Christ crucified for me.
Pastors, thankful for the last 10 years of Issues, Etc., give thanks to God. Praise to the Lord, the Almighty, the King of creation.
We can all picture what it's going to be like. It's going to be wall-to-wall coverage. All of the major news outlets will be bringing us live from Washington, D.C., from Senate chambers, the confirmation hearings of Supreme Court nominee Brett Kavanaugh. It's going to be the so-called media circus. Now, there'll be lots of grandstanding. There always is. Lots of questions that aren't questions. They're speechifying on the part of both the Republican and the Democratic senators there. And, of course, the nominee will get a chance to say his piece, but by and large, he might demur on certain issues, especially those that he probably shouldn't be commenting on if they are having to do with legislation facing various state legislatures. He doesn't want to influence those things. Maybe even some legislation facing the federal legislature. Maybe he can't say something about that. Could someone else say something about it when we get to that confirmation hearing for Brett Kavanaugh? He is President Trump's choice to fill the empty seat on the U.S. Supreme Court. It's an interesting question. Greetings and welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in live this Monday afternoon, the 23rd of July. We're going to be talking about abortion and the hearings for Supreme Court nominee Brett Kavanaugh. Hadley Arkus will be our guest a little bit later. Dr. Alvin Schmidt joins us to respond to some arguments that are being made, economic arguments in particular, in the Pacific Standard, that secularization is good for economic growth. Therefore, the less religious societies become, the more of a boon they find in their economics. Dr. Alvin Schmidt will join us for that in the next half hour of Issues Etc. Feel free to join us with questions or comments or call in number 1-877-623-6943. Send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org, a tweet at issuesetc, and our Issues Etc. listener comment line 618-223-8382. Hadley Arkus joins us to talk about abortion and the hearings for Supreme Court nominee Brett Kavanaugh. He's professor emeritus of jurisprudence in American institutions at Amherst College, founder and director of the James Wilson Institute on Natural Rights and the American Founding. He's author of the Born Alive Infants Protection Act and the book Constitutional Illusions and Anchoring Truths, the Touchstone of the Natural Law, and a recent column for National Review Online titled Abortion and the Brett Kavanaugh Hearings, a Plan for Senate Republicans. Hadley, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Oh, good to hear from you, Todd. Thanks for inviting me on.
Hadley, I think probably most of the senators who will be there realize that if they simply circle the wagons around Brett Kavanaugh and keep their heads down, he's likely
That's the usual strategy.
Yes, but yeah. You say they should do, or they might consider doing, a bit more. What is it?
Well, look, over the years, though, we've seen this kind of state of affairs. The Democrats, the liberals, the people who think the right to abortion is now the anchoring right, more important than freedom of speech, religion. These people come in thinking they have the moral high ground. And our people are just defensive. I think that the people who may have a prospect of scaling back or overturning Roe versus Wade, they sort of hunker down. They say this, so they're going to respect the precedent. They're afraid to challenge the Democrats in the very meaning of Roe versus Wade because most people in the country don't know what's in it. And we had, in fact, I suggested, a couple of suggested to the Republicans when Sotomayor was up and Ella Kagan that they simply invite the nominee to explain what's in it? And in fact, Senator Coburn, in the third round, asked Sonia Sotomayor to explain what it's in. And she said, under Roe v. Wade, you can have abortion under certain circumstances. Really? No. The right to abortion extends throughout the entire length of the pregnancy, and even, as we learned, after the child comes out, if you've changed your mind. This is the thing that inspired the Born Alive Infants Protection Act. That a federal judge dealing with a baby who'd survived an abortion for 21 days, died, and the question was raised, is there an obligation to preserve the life of the child? The answer was no, that it's not a child protected by state law. It's a fetus marked for termination. Well, we have that bill on the table now in Congress, and we've had 183 Democrats voting against it. So we have President Obama saying that that kind of bill would be incompatible with Roe versus Wade, and 183 Democrats staying with him on that. So we'd understand now that Roe versus Wade to them means a right that extends beyond the pregnancy itself and entails nothing less than the right to kill a child born alive. Now, this is a lever, and I don't see why it couldn't be brought out in the hearings that the Republican handlers are really shy of having the nominee say, well, Senator, there's a lot of misunderstanding about Roe. A lot of people in the country don't understand it. Could you tell me how you understand that case? Well, the Republican handlers think that's just too provocative a thing to do. So perhaps one of the senators, I think I would do it if I were, I would perhaps be willing to risk it if I were a nominee, but everybody says, no, if something important is online, you don't take chances with this. You don't set off tremors. But I think we could have the Republican senator, Ted Cruz or somebody, saying, no, you ought to. It looks as though our Democratic colleagues, when they ask you about Roe versus Wade, now have in mind a right that extends beyond the pregnancy itself. You must be aware of that. The judge can't say anything about this because he would decorously decline to answer. He'd say, well, I can't pronounce on that. This question might come before me as a judge. But the point could be brought out, and it could be posed at a challenge to the Democrats on that panel. They're going to be voting on that bill sometime this fall. Are they going to hold to the position of the Democrats in the House that right to abortion extends beyond the pregnancy, and so they'll vote against the bill to protect the survivors of abortion? Or are they be willing to say that even that right to abortion must find a limit somewhere and willing voting for this? Well, if they say that, if they say no, we'll vote for the bill, that they think the right to abortion must find this limit with birth, they would detach themselves from their party in the Congress and probably generate a tremors and a little minor civil war right now within the ranks of the Liberal Party, which I think would be great fun for the rest of us to watch and be good for their character. But at the same time, if they say they're going to hold to the Democratic position, well, this is something that could not only be of use in the hearings, but it could be used in the fall election. I mean, it'll be useful. You have Senator McCaskill running for re-election there, right? It might be useful to find out where Senator McCaskill stands on this. Does she think that right to abortion must extend beyond the pregnancy itself, and that the decision whether to kill the child is simply one left, once again, in the hands of the mother and the doctor? I think the question of this kind, Todd, you could turn the tables. Now, the curious thing is how fearful the Republicans are. Though, since the days of Bork, they're just afraid to have anybody out there trading arguments with the Democrats. The line is just keep your head down, take the pummeling, just slog through. And the main point is just to get the candidate across. But as Herman Cain used to say, how has that worked for us in the past? We got people like Sandra O'Connor, David Souter, even Anthony Kennedy himself, who eventually changed his position. So yeah, that's a long answer to your question. But you set off one of my oracular detonations, as somebody says. I really think there are ways of getting at this that would actually bait the defenders of abortion, make them come out. It isn't amazing that they will consistently ask the nominee if he or she will accept the decision Roe versus Wade, and they will not tell us what they themselves think the decision means and what the reach of that decision is. So if these hearings are meant to be instructive, why can't we elicit some instruction on points as fundamental as that?
So give us a little history lesson on how the Born Alive Survivors of Abortion Protection Act, give us a little history lesson on these so that we can understand how some of these lawmakers in the House most certainly have been voting.
Well, it actually began with a draft I wrote for the debating kit of the first George Bush back in 1988. And I picked up on that lower court case, Floyd versus Anders, in 1977, when Judge Ainsworth said that isn't a child protected by state law. In other words, the right to an abortion is the right to an effective abortion or a dead child. Though a clear court vacated that decision, it wasn't clear just what part that they were denying. They weren't denying Ainsworth's claim that the child is still a fetus. The fact that the child came out and was born did not make it into a child. It was now simply a fetus. That is a human being marked for an abortion. Well, I wrote that as a draft, and I tried to press it on our friends in Congress. I would have the president at the time, first Bush, say this. We're so divided on this question. We need a conversation before we legislate. The defenders of abortion insist it's not infanticide, which means they're willing to protect the child at some point. Well, why don't we just invite them to tell us when they're willing to start protecting the child? We could begin there. Well, if nothing else, why not invite them to protect the child at the point of birth? Well, our friends thought this was too modest a bill. But when the bill on partial birth abortion was struck down, the bill from Nebraska was struck down in 2000, Fender versus Carhart. Then the National Right to Life people came behind my bill in 2000, and we presented it. And the curious thing is, our friends thought this modest bill was so modest, what good would it do? And they were utterly astonished when NARAL, the National Abortion Rights Action League, or National Organization of Women, came out in opposition to this bill to preserve the child born alive. And what came out here is that our adversaries understood our bill better than our own allies, because they understood the principle that lay at the heart of the thing. They understood, and we didn't conceal it. We told them, if we can protect the child at that point, we'll come back at you and ask, what was the difference in that same child 5 minutes earlier, 5 hours, 5 days, 5 weeks, 5 months earlier? We'll continue to press it. And that's what the other side saw, which is what's put them in the awkward position of saying that in order to protect their position, the right to abortion, they're going to have to stop this. They can't fold in. The Democrats wanted to vote against it, but it took all of Congressman Nate Lazarus back in 2002, we finally passed the bill. It took all of Congressman Nate Lazarus to keep the Democrats from embarrassing themselves and voting against it. But at the same time, we were induced to remove the penalties, strip the penalties from that bill for the sake of averting a veto from President Clinton. And it turned out, however, that there's far more of this killing going on than even we had imagined at the time. We had the live birth abortions practiced at Christ Hospital in Oklahoma, Illinois, and other places. The baby is simply delivered whole, alive, and placed in a refuse room, uncovered, to die. And then we had the grisly experience of the killings done by Kermit Gosnell in Philadelphia, where the late-term abortions, if the child survived, they would just, as he said, snip the neck. Well, with all this in play now, we thought this is the time to go back to Congress and now hold hearings of this. Let the nurses tell the stories. We never did have those hearings. But this is the time to add the penalties to the bill. And the surprise is, we thought it would take all of Jerry Nadler's arts, Congressman Nadler's arts, to keep the Democrats from voting against. But President Obama said he would veto that bill. He could hold it incompatible with Roe versus Wade. That is, what Roe versus Wade must entail, the right to kill even the child who survives. It killed a comparable bill in Illinois as a state senator. But Obama threatened to veto that bill to punish the man who kills a child born alive. And that announcement of his liberated the Democrats to vote their true sentiments. And so in September 2015, 177 Democrats, all but five Democrats, voted against this bill. All the votes are not, every Republican voted in favor of the bill. Every Democrat voted against it. But when the bill was reintroduced in January of this year, now it was 183 Democrats who voted against it. Well, I think that's a chilling fact. And the curious thing is why it never came into play in the presidential election, why it was never raised in the debates by any of the questioners, why it was not even raised by people on Fox News, even serious Catholics and Christians on Fox News, never raising the question, either because they weren't aware of it, the media just refused to cover this bill, or because people on high just didn't want to see that issue of abortion discussed. But that's essentially the history of what got us to this point. And I would think it would just be a bill malfeasance if we didn't use these hearings to raise that issue. And if this is an important lever at this moment to raise, why wouldn't this be the moment precisely to break out this news to the public?
Hadley Arkus is our guest. We're talking about abortion in the hearings for Supreme Court nominee Brett Kavanaugh. When we come back, how would the abortion supporters in the Senate respond if one of their colleagues across the aisle asked the question about what Roe really entails? How far can an abortionist go under Roe? We'll get Hadley Arkus' response after this.
This was my first time going, and I was extremely thrilled with everything that was provided, from the materials to being able to meet the speakers and authors of books.
Ben from Green Bay, Wisconsin, talking about the Issues Etc. Making the Case conference.
Thank you for putting on the conference and providing the educational material that we can use in our world today.
Learn more about our fall Making the Case conference at issuesetc.org.
Remember when education was about the fundamental skills of reading, writing, and arithmetic? And about reading great literature and studying history to give our kids a model for what it is to be a good person? Memoria Press's classical Christian curriculum offers that very model for your homeschool. Get $5 off your next order by using the coupon code LPR17. For more information, go to memoriapress.com. Memoria Press, a classical Christian education that works.
Your comprehensive source for information, teaching, and truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois offers ACT, SAT, and PSAT test prep, scholarship application classes, college and career counseling, and more. Hi, this is Lori Konski, president of College Preparation Station. We have helped our students obtain more than $7 million in tuition scholarships in 12 years. Find out more at cpsprep.com. Let us help you create a vision and find your future. The College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois, cpsprep.com.
Issues Etc. returned to the air on June 30th after being canceled by the previous leadership of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod during Holy Week of 2008. For a special 10-year anniversary donation of $100 or more, we'll send you a CD of Issues Etc. listeners' top 12 hymns. You can make an anniversary gift online at issuesetc.org or by check. Make your check payable to Issues Etc. and send it to Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Hadley Arkus is our guest. We're talking about abortion and the hearings for Supreme Court nominee Brett Kavanaugh. Hadley is Professor Emeritus of Jurisprudence and American Institutions at Amherst College. Hadley, how do you imagine the supporters of abortion, they're largely the Democratic side here, how do you think they would respond if that subject were raised, if the subject were raised of how far can the abortionist go to ensure that an abortion is, quote-unquote, an effective abortion?
I think once it's raised, they will try just to not to step into any traps and not just not to respond, to put their heads down. We'll have a test of this, by the way, of how much that strategy that's been in place for 30-some years works. The parole boards come in with the moral high ground, and our people never challenge any of their premises, never even dare them to explain what is in Roe versus Wade, because that would actually shock the country if it were fully explained. What a dear friend of mine at one of the leading law schools in the country about 20 years ago took a survey among her colleagues and found only out of 25 of them, only 5 could give an accurate account of what's in Roe versus Wade. They thought that the right to abortion was simply confined to the first trimester. This is news that would still jolt people in the country. My hunch is that you can take this as a test, Todd, that the Republican playbook will be, I've raised this issue now, the Republican playbook will be, do not go near that. Do not do anything that sort of stirs the other side, challenges them. We just want to get through this. They're not interested in argument, but just get through with this. But at the same time, nothing will be done to shake or alter the sense that's been conveyed now for 30 years is that the people in favor of abortion have the moral high ground, and the opposition are people who are defensive or giving evasive answers and so on. But I think this strategy could work with just a couple of senators. Perhaps I don't think Roy Blount is on the Judiciary Committee, but people like Ted Cruz or Mike Lee could simply put the question, make the point to Judge Kavanaugh. And Judge Kavanaugh, you understand that the position that the Democratic Party is taking, that if we assume that our colleagues here hold the position of their colleagues in the House, they think the position of President Obama is not foolish, but a plausible position, then the meaning of Roe versus Wade 45 years later is still unsettled. It's hardly a settled judgment then. But you ought to be clear, Judge Kavanaugh, that when they ask you about Roe versus Wade now, they have in mind something radically different. They have something that involves a right extending beyond the pregnancy, entailing the right to kill a child. You ought to understand that. Kavanaugh would say, I can't, of course, send you under, and I can't pronounce that now because this is a question that could be come before me, and apparently it's an issue of live controversy. Well, if, let's say, a couple of senators keep taking that position, accusing the Democrats on the panel of favoring a right to an abortion that extends beyond pregnancy, I don't see how they could fail to take the bait. I don't see how they could restrain from defending themselves when presented with charges of that kind. But that'll be an interesting test for us, Todd.
Finally, then, if you would, with a few minutes, talk about the need for, if it doesn't happen by this means, it has to happen by some means, that the American public is woefully ignorant of what Roe actually says, as you have said. Our lawmakers seem to be as well. But in order for the debate to continue, even if it's a post-Roe debate, in order for the debate to continue, the American public must know what Roe actually says. Permits by way of abortion through all 9 months and in the minds of many lawmakers, even post-birth.
The problem emanated from the center with the Supreme Court pronouncing this decision. And I think it must emanate from the center in a different way. There'll be the conservative jurisprudence is right now, we have nothing to say about abortion. We don't say what it's about. It's a decision that should be made back in the states. So what's that? Aren't you clear this is a human being? Are you putting the question to the states of whether human life may be taken for self-interested reasons? What are you putting? A different strategy, a different move, and this may be the source in which public is educated, that the court simply deals with a series of measures to say protect the child at the point we have a beating heart, 6.5 weeks. Let's say we go through a series of things of that kind. If people didn't know you couldn't protect the child, but let's say you go through a series of measures of that kind and people, even people who are pro-choice, think, well, that's reasonable to protect the child when they're beating heart, or protect the child because we know Down syndrome, we wouldn't take the life of any other child who has Down syndrome. If you go through a series of measures in which people, even people pro-choice, think, there's a justified ground on which to restrain abortion, this is what we call the art of overruling. Piece by piece, you will let people try out the different ways in which the restriction of abortion may be eminently justified. And perhaps along the way, they're led to the recognition that, the beating of the heart is just one side of a human life already there, integrating its own growth, that the heart will come into place as toes and fingers will come into place, and then they realize it's still the same entity. It's the same human being, just at another stage. My own hunch is that might be a better way of doing it than the decision overnight to overrule Roe versus Wade, and it sets off a panic in the country. People are being dispossessed of this right they thought they had, and they didn't even know what the right was. So in a curious way, the incremental move to start having deep restrictions on abortion to protect the child in the womb, the child with the beating heart, the child who could suffer pain, in different ways may itself be the way in which you try and educate the people in the country and lead them to recognize there's something just wrong with the whole thing, that we're talking about the extinguishing of a human life. And the grounds, and we recognize that the laws on homicide are never vary according to the height and weight, the size, the age of the victim. Once you're clear that it's a human being, the size of this, that human being should not matter. And so my hunch is we're never going to get the media to report this. When we became forth with that bill to protect the child born alive, we're going to break up information that the public would find jolting. People didn't know you can have an abortion this late. But the media responded to it by simply not covering it. That information, which we thought would be so jolting to the public, was never reported. It was successfully blacklisted and stifled by the major media. So we absorbed quite a sobering lesson with all of that. And if can be broached in the hearings, that itself could finally bring the issue out to the public. But if it isn't, we simply have to rely on the court sustaining these initiatives over the years. It reminds us, by the way, that the court is not the only source for correcting the misjudgments of the court. That the court could simply start confirming the initiatives taken by legislatures in the states and in Congress to start extending protections for the child in the womb. And that may be the way that this decision is finally scaled back. And scaled back enough, we may reach the point where with just another short step, we say, this is time to overrule it.
Finally then, Hadley, what in the world do pro-life senators have to lose by taking this issue to their opponents during the Brett Kavanaugh hearings?
Well, what the Republican handlers would tell them is, you've got to be careful. You're going to scare off some people. It's scaring off the Democrats. You may also scare Susan Collins and Lisa Murkowski, who are two pro-choice senators. But the curious thing is, it's only because of the presence of those two pro-choice Republican senators that the pro-life party has a majority control of the Senate right now. On the other hand, by taking the issue up, you can be affecting Democrats in the red states, people running in states that Donald Trump carried. I think you'd gain if the issue were presented to Susan Collins and Lisa Murkowski. What these people are representing is the right to kill a child for the entire length of the pregnancy, and even when the child comes out. I think Lisa Murkowski and Susan Collins could say, no, that's not where I am. So I will stay with my colleagues if we're simply holding against that. So I myself think it's the strategy they've been taking over the years just bespeaks a want of confidence. I would, rest myself, would like to see them take a few more chances here and at least finally do something that conveys to the public what's actually engaged here and breaks this odd position in which the pro-abortion side comes in, curiously, taken to hold the moral high ground. What is to be gained by simply acquiescing in a strategy that allows that to continue from one decade to the next?
Hadley Arkus is Professor Emeritus of Jurisprudence at American Institutions at Amherst College. He's founder and director of the James Wilson Institute on Natural Rights in the American Founding, author of The Born Alive Infants Protection Act, the book Constitutional Illusions and Anchoring Truths, The Touchstone of the Natural Law,
and a recent column for National Review Online titled Abortion and the Brett Kavanaugh Hearings, A Plan for Senate Republicans. You can read it and purchase Constitutional Illusions and Anchoring Truths at issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Hadley, thank you very much.
Oh, Todd, thanks once again for your generosity inviting me on.
When we come back, Dr. Alvin Schmidt will be our guest. We're going to talk about a claim that the more secular a society grows, the less religious a society grows, the better its chances for economic prosperity. Dr. Alvin Schmidt, Professor Emeritus of Sociology at Illinois College and author of the book How Christianity Changed the World, will respond to that right after this.
Did you know that Luther Academy has been providing continuing education for confessional Lutheran pastors and laypeople worldwide for more than 20 years? Luther Academy publishes Logia, the Confessional Lutheran Dogmatics series, and Luther Digest. Find out more about Luther Academy and sign up to receive their free email newsletter at lutheracademy.com, lutheracademy.com, and like them on Facebook, facebook.com/Luther Academy.
How was school today, kids?
Crazy! Hector's charioteer got hit by a stone, and his eyes fell out into the dust before him there at his feet.
Sounds like Patroclus was being hot-tempered, rude, and quarrelsome again.
He always is. Dad, what's for supper?
I don't know yet. Supper is such a problem.
If it's a problem, you can use the scientific method to figure it out.
Problem? We want supper. Hypothesis? I think Dad will make tacos.
Actually, I was thinking about spaghetti.
Tacos or spaghetti?
False dichotomy.
Is this the after-school conversation of your dreams? Registration is now open for the 2018-19 school year at St. Paul Lutheran School in Hamel, Illinois, the only classical Lutheran school in the St. Louis area.
Hey, Dad, how did my violin practice sound?
Kiddo, it sounded epic.
Learn more at school.stpaulhamel.org. school.stpaulhamel.org.
Smartest listeners in radio. You're listening to Issues Etc.
When pastors talk about us, they call us ad crucem. When laity mention us, they speak of ad crucem. When non-Lutherans address us, they say ADC Rucam. But no matter how you say it, Ad Crucem is the place to go for greeting cards, artwork, jewelry, ornaments, housewares, church certificates, church banners, and all your gift buying needs. Visit adcrucem.com, confessing the faith through art and word. ADCRUCEM.com.
An average of 20 military veterans kill themselves every day. Project Operation Barnabas is a network of LCMS congregations who reach out to veterans in their congregations and their communities with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Operation Barnabas is a program of LCMS Ministry to the Armed Forces. Find out more at lcms.org/armedforces. Serving those who serve. LCMS Ministry to the Armed Forces. lcms.org/armedforces.